B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Any regrets about your decision? Or how do you feel with the Heat? How's it all come together with you and coming back?
Oh, definitely no regrets. I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. I feel like I'm supposed to be here. So that's definitely, in the past, taking off. And I'm here to play football now. And I'm glad to be here. And going out there, just playing ball, it feels good. And let me tell you, at first, the first couple practices, you know, it definitely felt a little weird. The game was really fast when I first got out there again. The defense felt really fast. And as time goes on, as the days go on, I feel better about myself being out there. My confidence keeps going up. The game's slowing down. I'm starting to pick up the offense more. But overall, it's going good. But I got so much more to work on and so much more to improve on. But I am really glad to be here, man.
More from Gronkowski there on Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm at the remote A-hole chair location. Felger Maz brought to you by DraftKings. 43-year-old Tom Brady, old, beaten-up Rob Gronkowski, fresh as lettuce out there every day. Your 24-year-old next quarterback can't even make it to the second week of practice. And even before then was sucking. Let me read you from Greg Bedard yesterday. Greg Bedard after yesterday's practice, okay? He writes that we excused Jared Stidham the other day when he had three interceptions. We saw all of those. The drills that day didn't have everyone going all out all the time. It felt like Stidham was just throwing them up, trying to force the ball into a tight spot and make a play. But today was different. Again, he's talking about yesterday. Today was different, and it was not good for Stidham. He repeats the stats. You know, Stidham was not up to snuff, he says. In team period, Stidham was just 2 of 6 with two more interceptions. But, writes Bedard, a quarterback competition is not about stats, which can be skewed depending on who you're playing with and the defenders you're going against. He says Stidham's performance on Thursday had nothing to do with stats. What was the issue? He says the player who started out with confident reads and decisive throws is more and more unsure of himself with every passing practice. One of his interceptions yesterday was just lazy. He didn't step into the throw. The ball hung up in the air, and this has been a repeated problem for him. But probably the worst play, writes Bedard, came later in practice, and it wasn't an interception. During 11-on-11, Stidham went through a play-action fake, looked deep, but quickly saw that Devin, Asiasi was going to be open on a little out. The play was there. Asiasi might turn the corner after catching the ball. Instead, Stidham didn't let the pass go, and badly underthrew it, which drew a rebuke from the coach. That's a play Stidham has to make, writes Bedard. Even if it's not a completion, he at least has to go through the play and throw it with confidence. Bedard says it was just terrible. He also says, look, it's not like Cam Newton is running away with this thing. And if you had to start a game right now, Bedard says Brian Hoyer may just be the better option. Oh, I love that. But, he says, Stidham is playing worse by the day and losing confidence. He needs to gird up and finish the week strong tomorrow, or he's going to see his reps cut even more. So not only did he not gird up and finish the week strong, he went to the hospital and then came back and limped through a walkthrough. And I think Jared Stidham's just about done. Is it possible, Maz, that the hip thing's a cover for him sucking and losing confidence and they want to protect him?
Sure.
Is that possible?
Yeah, anything's possible. It's also possible, I would tell you that, it's also possible that the bad throw he made is related to the hip in some way. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, that's sort of my ultimate takeaway. Whether he's sucking or he's legitimately hurt, it doesn't matter. How does a 24-year-old guy get a hip injury with no contact? How does that happen?
It's what not a cover, by the way. I talked to someone that was at the hospital.
Yeah, like, before. Honestly,
Hold on. Go back, Murray. Speak.
He was at a hospital. I won't say which one, but no, it's not a cover. It happened. He was at a hospital.
Look, I believe he went to the hospital, but is it possible that the team is saying, well, okay, that you have a little hip thing that's bothering you.
Can I chime in here?
Yeah, please do.
Yes. Can I read from my phone? Is that okay?
Of course.
Jimmy's phone chiming in.
In fact, I encourage it.
Quote, Stidham was in so much hip pain last night that he needed an MRI at the hospital.
Okay.
So that's a lot of pain. That's enough to go to the hospital. Well, I trust that.
Okay, so again,
it's
I
not
just,
a cover. Sorry.
You know, when I hear about a hip injury, you know what I think of? A 75-year-old man. That's what I think of, a 75-year-old man. I don't think of a 24-year-old who hasn't been touched.
Or Time Lord.
Okay, so but same idea, right? Like yeah. Bo Jackson. Like, you know, you don't get hip injuries when you're 24. You don't.
And I think of groin pulls, sports hernias, that thing. And it's all part and parcel with not being ready to go. Or something. Whatever it is, it's not good. It's not good. It was Jared he had a chance. I believe that they wanted him to be the guy early in the offseason. And it was his job to win and his job just by doing the right thing in the offseason. And he apparently did the wrong things.
He went from potential starting quarterback for the New England Patriots to a project quarterback. Think of that.
I'm telling you, that this kid is a hot air balloon, man. Once you let the air out of it, there ain't much there. Like, I think it's a lot of hype.
So that's where we are today with Jared Stidham. Your thoughts, Paul in West Roxbury. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, I think the most important thing about this year for the long term is finding out if Stidham can play. And if he can't play, what's the next plan? It's not Cam Newton. What are they going to do? Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'm with you. And I've said this many times. If they have to go back into the quarterback market next offseason, it's a fail. The transition is a fail. So at this point, it better be Cam Newton. Cam Newton better win the job. He better be good. He better agree to take less than the market would bear next year and be your guy for the next 3 to 5 years. Otherwise, what? You're going into the draft? You're starting all over? Fail. That's a fail. That's a fail quarterback transition. Sorry, it is. And the thing, you know, to me, the first step with Jared Stidham isn't finding out if he can play or not. There's even a step before that. And that is he a pro? I mean, does he know what it takes? Can he prepare the right way? Does he have the right mindset, the right makeup, the right intangibles? And that's even before you get on the field and start playing the position. Do you have what it takes to be a quarterback in the National Football League? All those little building block things, which, unlike you, I'm consistent about, you Patriots fans. It's important to be hardworking in the offseason. First one in, last one out. That's what that position is. I expect it and demand it of all the players at that position, whether it's a 20-year guy like Brady or a second-year guy like Stidham. You got to have it. You got to be that guy. And if Stidham ain't that guy, oh, forget about whether he can play or not. That's immaterial. If he's not that first thing,
see that
about it.
Yeah, so I know you've said that the test of the system is Hoyer. And I agree that Hoyer is the least talented of those three, or in theory should be. But I think Bill's best case, Mike, for the whole thing working is Stidham. Because drafted in the fourth round, you coach him up, and he's young, inexperienced, like the whole nine yards. At least Hoyer's been around has been a starter in the league. I think if Bill can pull Stidham out, you know, out of the middle of the draft, plug him in Brady's spot and win with him, ooh, that would be a huge argument in his favor. And now it looks to me like this kid can't play.
And his guy can't even get to the third week of camp. Tom in Pawtucket, your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, this is going to be a bloodbath, guys. I think everybody should be bracing for this. The last dance for the past was last year. Jordan's left the building. I mean, Cam Newton's going to implode. He's going to take that whole locker room with him, man. This is going to be a mess.
Is there a risk of Cam Newton if things go bad? If Cam Newton's your quarterback versus a Hoyer or a Stidham?
Well, if they're going to do this platoon nonsense, yes. Yeah, I could see why he would be a problem in the locker room, and I don't blame him. Like, you don't bring me in to sub-time with these other dopes.
So I say no for this reason. If it starts to get bad, Bill will get rid of him. I just think that ultimately he'll just pull the plug, and that's it. If it starts to really get out of control and get bad. And the other thing is they do have some veteran guys in there still that are hardcore Bill guys that are just loyal, good players and, you know, committed to the overall goal like McCourty.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you want to finish?
No, I was going to say Slater, guys like McCourty and Slater. They'll keep them on the beam.
I mean, both those guys have been talking about opting out because of COVID. So how dedicated to Bill are they?
They're not going to opt out now, though. McCourty said something to that effect. Like, you know, anyway.
Well, no, but I think Jim's
play
point
for
is that,
Bill and in a pandemic? F that.
Well, they were teetering, right? Which is enough, I think, is sort of the point. Either way, the news on Cam Newton ain't good either. By the way, I'll give you that coming up right after this on an Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And you see Stidham's release point, and it's here above the helmet. You know, where the arm slot is with the elbow. And the elbow's, you know, it's not like a complete L where it's a 90-degree angle. It's up here. And Stidham's a decent-sized kid. What, 6'3", 6'4"? So you're getting every a little bit out of there. And you look at the snapshots of Brady, going back to the mechanical part of it, and Tom comes over the top, but he's even looking up at the ball at times where the ball's up, and I'm holding the ball, you know, above my shoulder. My right elbow is above my right shoulder. You watch Cam, a little over stride, and left shoulder high in the air, right arm dipped down, and he's reaching back. And I've been around guys that had some shoulder issues, and you're recovering from that. You change your motion. Your injury makes you change the way you normally do things.
So that was another Zolak insight from earlier in the week. That was Tuesday. And that was before Zolak even went down there. When he just saw little video clips and still shots of Cam Newton in his throwing motion and his release point. And Zo said, that doesn't look right. That doesn't look exactly like Newton I remember. And he says, could it be he's adjusting to the shoulder surgery? And so that was Tuesday. Then today, or I guess late yesterday, Jonathan Jones, who is a reporter for CBS Sports, he used to, I think, write in Charlotte. I think he covered the Panthers and he covered Newton. So he's got some what feels like Cam Newton juice, where he's just has some sourcing with Cam Newton. And he posted this yesterday, I think, or today. He says, first of all, Josh McDaniels has been working tirelessly since June trying to figure out what works and what doesn't for Newton in his system. He called some of Newton's former coaches to get additional insights on the 31-year-old. And if he's healthy, Newton will get the nod, writes Jonathan Jones. And that's the main point, Newton's health. A source close to Newton pointed out to me the number of hits Newton has saved himself from with his time off. Newton has played in just two regular season games since mid-December of 2018, so he's more or less had a year and a half off from football. So that's the good news. The bad news is that multiple sources I've spoken to, writes Jonathan Jones, say that if they're concerned about any Newton injury, it's his shoulder, far more than his foot. Newton had surgery to repair a Lisfranc injury back in December, and that came after months of trying to avoid going back under the knife. His two shoulder surgeries came in March of 17 and January of 19, and I've been closely monitoring his throwing since. Jones writes that Carolina's 6-2 start in 2018 and Newton's revival under Norv Turner masked his struggles to throw the ball deep. He had trouble with his deep ball throughout training camp that year, and he attempted just 2.9 passes of 20-plus yards per game through the team's first eight games. And in just two games in 2019, Jones writes that Newton couldn't throw to the right side of the field. Could it have been the broken foot? Perhaps, he says. But Newton completed just 40% of his passes to the right side in those two losses, which is so below average, it's statistically significant in my view. So writes Jones, at 31 and a year away from contact, Newton should feel extremely refreshed. The ball is spinning off his hand right now, and it probably will throughout camp. Frankly, it should be. But the test will be how his arm is faring come November as the hits pile up and the weather gets colder. I'm not saying his arm will fall off, but the close inspection of his spirals isn't really necessary right now. Zoe already sees a different arm slot. And Zoe, you know, who went down yesterday, said the same thing. He says, for a guy that big with an arm that strong, he has a big windup. And, you know, how does he say? I can't remember exactly how he said it, but, you know, he puts a lot into the throw for a guy who's got such a big arm. And he wonders if the shoulder is still a lingering issue. What do you think of that, Miz?
Oh, I think it's absolutely a legitimate concern. And again, I'm going back weeks now, And, you know, at one point, I think you were out. We played a cut where someone said that a lot of people in the league think that Newton's shoulder is shot, like gone. And so, to me, it's absolutely the number one concern. Now, look, you know, the year that he was with Norv Turner, he completed 68% of his passes. And so I hear that, you know, he only threw three balls down the field, 20 yards or more. How many did Brady throw on average?
Right. So, it's a good point. I don't care about them throwing the ball down the field. So that's not, like, I don't want them airing it out. Like, I don't, the home run offense, I'm not into. I use that as a sign that the shoulder's not right.
Well, so sure, yes. And look, that is a concern for me, too. All I'm telling you is, let's say his arm doesn't come all the way back, and it comes 75% of the way back. I think Bill thinks he might be able to win with that. Like, right. Bill might look at it. So the question is, if he has lost some, how much has he lost, and is it going to be more later? Like, I agree with the general premise of the story. Mike, that stat, when you read that story, that stat, that you just said 40% throwing to the right side, that's his front side.
That's the strong side. That's where most balls go in most offenses because quarterbacks are right-handed and the tight ends there, et cetera. Like, that's the side you throw to.
40%? 40%? 40% is like you don't belong in the league. Like, 40% is a joke. 50% you don't belong in the league. 40%? That's horrendous. That's beyond horrendous.
So they got a 24-year-old guy who can't even make it to the third week of camp. They got a 30-year-old guy who's got a bad shoulder. And the only one who's healthy and putting in the work and has the right attitude is older than all of them and sucks.
I was going to say, he sucks.
I mean, that's the Patriots quarterback situation. Why Tom Brady's out there every day, fresh as lettuce, looks as good as he did as a young man. The 24-year-old kid here who was supposed to be the next guy is in the hospital in week two with a hip. The guy they signed, his shoulder apparently still isn't right. And the only one who has the right attitude off the field, has the command of the offense on the field, and is fully healthy, is older than all of them and sucks. That's the Patriots quarterback situation. How do you feel about that today? One of the things we're talking about on an agenda-free Friday. Let's go back to Martel in Tingsboro. Go ahead, Martel.
Michael, in previous years, the Patriots had Tom Brady to cover up their mistakes on offense. They haven't needed that superstar offensive talent, you know, the wide receiver that takes the top off the defense, or that star running back that rushes for 100 yards a game. But now that Brady's gone, your best offensive skill player is 34, and you have the cap space due to the opt-outs. Is it time they need that type of player? And should the Patriots be all in if they become available? I know in the past you've been a no on a player like Odell.
No, 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 and no. No, no. You want to talk about a player that will take a locker room down with them in flames? It's Odell Beckham. Not the guy they need. Not the guy ever. That's not the guy anyone ever needs. These guys don't win. That guy's a loser. You know, if I can even go one step further. Odell, please, no. This is on the coaches. This is on the coaches. If Bill thinks he made Brady, if he thinks it's system over player, let's see it. Coach it up. Coach it up. Expose these other bozo coaches that you go up against on a weekly basis and grind out these wins through coaching. That's what it's going to have to be. There is no magic sauce there. They're not going to bring back Antonio Brown. They shouldn't sign Dez Bryant. They shouldn't trade for Odell Beckham. That ship has sailed. They saved their money, and there's a whole nother thing there. Like, I think those are their COVID pandemic budget cuts. It came on the roster. And so they saved themselves the money like every company has done across the country, and this is it. They're sinking or swimming. And, let's see what Bill's got. Feels to me, the whole quarterback transition feels shaky to me right now today with this Jared Stidham news.
Oh, does it ever.
And is Cam Newton, again, is he right physically? And is he doing what he needs to do attitude-wise or commitment-wise or the way he's carrying himself? Is he doing the right thing? Zoe still has doubts about that. More thoughts from you as well. Not 90 seconds. You'll just get an update here from Murray, and then we're right back on an Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What you're going to have to see within the next 2 weeks is guys like Cam Newton, Bird, get together, make some plays while somebody up in the booth or on the film. Cam's going to have to start making some big plays and not just being part of the rotation and just trying to get your reps in, if you know what I mean. It's
kicking
here for the taking for him.
Scott Zolak saying Cam Newton sort of carrying himself like he's just happy to be here. Not really seizing the day, seizing the job. Others have said that as well. Mike Giardi says through 4 days of watching Patriots camp, none of the three quarterbacks has been so good that you say that's the guy. He said yesterday was the first day we saw a real change in reps, with Cam getting significantly more than Stidham. And while Cam didn't wow, he didn't crash and burn either. But Giardi says that. Bedard echoed Zoe and said, let me get you the exact line. He said, look, it's not like Newton is running away with this thing. And if you had to start a game right now, Hoyer may just be the better option. So you keep hearing that as well. So the news ain't exactly resounding on Cam Newton either. It's worse on Stidham. That's bad. Bad sign. Hospital, hip, second week of camp, when they're not, it's no one's being touched. Horrible sign. But it's not like Cam Newton's lighting the world on fire either. And oh, by the way, you don't want to hear these guys on the Patriots pass catchers. When the team broadcasters, Zolak and Sosie, both these guys, oh my God, we'll play some more Sosie and Zoe sound on the receivers and the tight ends. These guys think the team sucks. And when they think the team sucks, whoo, wow.
So let me ask you a quick question, because you have said that I think you've said recently that best case scenario for the team is that Stidham wins the job and runs with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what is the worst case scenario for the team, Mike?
Worst case scenario,
not for your take, for the team.
Yeah, no, right. I know. So that's why I have to think about it, because I obviously, like all of us, just care about my take. The worst case scenario for the team is that while none of them can play, they go 7-9 because Bill's still a good coach and everybody else sucks. So they don't get a good draft pick, and they have to start all over in the quarterback market next year.
Okay, I was going to say worst case scenario for the three quarterbacks. Like, if none of them can play, that's obviously the worst, right? But of the three, what's the worst case?
I'm a little confused with what you're asking me. Cam Newton goes off and signs a big contract elsewhere, and you have to start over in the quarterback market?
No, if Hoyer wins the job, that's worst case.
Yeah, I would agree.
But see, I don't feel that way.
See, but again, that's because of your take. I'm telling you, though, that...
No. Well, I mean, I guess it's my take. I think they can win with Brian Hoyer running the offense. I do.
Yeah, see, but I think that Hoyer is their safety net. And so Hoyer, the only reason Hoyer's here is if neither guy can play, they can put Hoyer in and hopefully go 8-8. Like, to me, that Hoyer is just there because Bill knows what he is. He's the one guy that Bill knows what he is. So that's the only reason he's here. He's the safety net.
Yeah, Bill likes those guys.
I know, but they don't want to end up there. You don't want to end up in your safety net. You want to end up in one of the other two places. Now, again, you like Hoyer. I'm not telling you you shouldn't. I'm just telling you that Hoyer is there if the other two can't play. That's how they look at it.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I see what you're saying. Those other two absolutely have a higher ceiling and, you know, absolutely should be better. And, you know, and if they're not, if they can't get out there or they're not as good as the Patriots think, and then they're left with the, you know, the safety net, their ceiling's lower.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm thinking more big picture. Look, no matter who their quarterback is, I don't think any of us view this as a Super Bowl year. I mean, I think if Cam Newton returns to MVP form, they can get really close. But I don't know. That feels like a reach given what we're hearing. And so I think this is about winning the division, going into the playoffs, going as far as you can go, and being set up for next year when this is sort of a, you know, sort of a reset. And I think in that scenario, Stidham's got to be the guy next year. But if he can't even do the right things in year two, what says he's going to do the right things in year three? I just think it's a scary sign. Back to your phones on everything. Here's Tim in Wakefield. Go ahead, Tim. Tim! Okay, guys, you got to be ready to go.
Goodbye,
Tim. We go to the phones. We've got Christian in Lemonster with the Bruins talk. Go ahead, Christian.
Listen, Tugger and Mass, I got sources on Tuukka Rask. You want to hear him?
Quickly.
Okay, listen, 2 years ago, what happens? He goes on a break. I'll tell you why. His wife, she was cheating on him.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. I think someone beat me to it, in fact.
Yeah, I did.
Jimmy, did you drop that?
Yeah, I had a vibe about that call.
Yeah, too. Right?
Not interested in it.
Here's another Habs fan. Go ahead. What do you got on Bruins Montreal?
Oh, yeah. Let me just hang with me for a second. I can appreciate your hatred to the Habs. So I'm a Habs fan. Of course I hate the Bees, right? I respect them. I like Chara. I like Bergey. I like Marshy. I like all those guys. I think they're great hockey players. Talk about hitting the fan base. I hate poke the bear. I hate get in your face. I hate the old school rock and sock 'em. I like hard hockey. I don't like that fan base. I don't like the spoke B. I don't even like that every kid in the 90s that was born in the 90s has to be named Cameron. I mean, give me a break. It enrages me. So I share in your...
Okay, so I'm going to stop there. I'm not into the poke the bear thing either. Don't poke the bear. We're going to beat you up and lose in six in the first round. Neat. Great. So that does nothing for me either.
The calls are rubber-legged right now.
Yeah, I know.
The callers are on there rubber-legged right now.
John and Winthrop. Go ahead, John. NHL bubble. Go.
Hi, Mike. I like your opinion on the NHL tournament here. A lot of comparisons that people are saying this is some of the purest hockey they've seen in a long time, decades. Talking, comparing it to the IIHF championships and the Olympics. You know, it looks like it's more of a team game out there. Long gone.
Okay, I'm going to stop you.
Yeah, they went ice cold there. Look, I mean, when the games have been competitive, yes, but you've seen teams pretty much give up now that there's been some sort of pushback. Those two games yesterday showed you just that. This was my opening take. That Dallas-Calgary game last night, Calgary leads 3-0, and then bang, it's tied 3-3, and then they just completely give up, and it ends 7-3, and it's a no-show by Washington. So it's not, I don't know, like, I think you're seeing some bad games here because these guys are ready to pack it up and get the hell out of there.
The quit factor's higher. Yeah. The quit factor's higher than it's been in the past, right? And that's understandable given what's involved in the commitment. But I will say this. And I just because I was talking to someone about it this morning, I got to give the NHL and the NBA a lot of credit. These things are going pretty well, all things considered.
Oh, they've pulled it off. Both leagues have pulled it off.
I mean, really, the fact that now, look, again, there's a quit factor that isn't usually there. But they're running their postseasons, and we're moving right along without much difficulty. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
So just on the hockey, it's not 100% of what we usually get. I think there's more bad games and throwaway sort of series or end of series. Maz said, you know, all the, you know, in the East, every series went 3-1, right?
Yeah.
And there's only one that's left at 3-2. So there's more of a given factor. I think there's more bad games than normal. But I think the good games and the good series are pretty close. Like, we're getting close to, and I've seen plenty of action and plenty of snippets where it's real playoff hockey. And I've seen a lot that isn't. So it's not 100%, but I think it's pretty damn close. And I'd say the same thing about the basketball. I haven't watched as much, but I think they're both real tournaments. I think we're going to have real champions in both. And there's no asterisk as far as I'm concerned. And I think both leagues have pulled it off, you know, despite all the doubts of them being able to do so. And despite the fact that baseball has not pulled it off, I think hockey and basketball have pulled it off.
Yeah, it's a good product. Overall, it's a good product, totally digestible. And again, I give the players overall credit. I mean, I think they're giving us a representative product.
So here's the thing about me just zipping through these calls is that they suck and we can get them off the board and get some different calls on there. Ryan in Providence, go.
Hey, guys, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on. Mike, I thoroughly disagree with you wanting the Habs to win. I think the Bruins actually stack up better against Tampa Bay because I still really don't trust Vasilevsky. The Flyers have Carter Hart, 21-year-old goalie. You know how the Bruins have fared with the young, hot goaltenders in the past.
You don't also, get the Flyers. You don't get the Flyers. It's now either Tampa or the Islanders, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you don't get the Flyers. You get Barry Trotz and is it Varlamov, I think, is their goalie?
It is.
And you've got to watch, what's-his-face, Barzal skate circles around you, who you passed on in the draft for Zach Sinishin. So that's going to be the pain of the Islanders. They're going to grind you out to death. Every game's going to be 2-1. And you have to watch a player that you passed on who's one of the young superstars in the league. But you should beat the Islanders. You should beat the Islanders.
And they should beat Philly, Mike. They should.
If you get them in the conference finals. You're not going to get Philly in the next round.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just saying if the Bruins get by Tampa, and I'm assuming it's going to be Tampa. If they get by Tampa, there's no way they shouldn't be in the final.
That's right. That's right. You should beat Philly or the Islanders if you get them the next round. You should. And I even think the Islanders would be a tougher out. Mike in the truck, go quickly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm a little bit surprised that the Bruins won the first series in five games. I think there is a drop-off from Tuukka to Halak, and I'm not a huge Tuukka Rask guy, but I feel like the rest of the team is definitely going to have to step up their game to kind of cover up for the deficiency of goalie. And I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, they have to be much better against Tampa than they were against Carolina. I don't even think they were that great against Carolina. They just sort of figured out ways to win, and Carolina, as usual against you, puked all over themselves in the key moments. And so you sort of walk over them in five games when I don't think you were all that great. You got to be at your best against Tampa. That's what I think. And Halak's got to be a heck of a lot better. Let me just clear one more off the board, Maz. Matt in Sudbury. Go, Matt.
Yeah, hey, before I get to my point, other than Elaine Vigneault, Michelle Therrien is also the assistant coach in Philly,
right,
if you didn't know.
Right.
So they're one evil genius, Steve Boucher, away from having the slippery French triumvirate in Philly. But what I was going to say is if I'm Cassidy, I'm moving Pastrnak down to the Krejci line, at least partially if they're playing Tampa. I need to get him away from Victor Hedman because the Bruins, I mean, it's not a surprise, but they're not very good 5-on-5. I think they scored 4 5-on-5 goals the last 4 games, and I think they all came in that third period of game 4. But I don't know what you guys think. It's just passionate.
Okay, well, hold on. Matt, Maz is already shaking his head.
No, because I like the way it's working right now. So, again, I know he's talking. I want to see where it starts with Kasha, with Krejci. I like the way that line played in that series. And so, look, again, the matchups are going to be different, but Tampa's loaded. You know, whether it's Hedman on Pastrnak or, you know, I don't know who the second pairing is at McDonough.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like you're going to get some sort of slouch. So I want to leave it the way it is right now just to start. I like Kasha with Krejci. I think that line played well.
Okay, but you're going to find that Carolina D is soft. It's soft. And the Bruins, even though they couldn't score, were still able to get inside and make plays down low and sort of control that matchup. Against Tampa, they aren't able to do it. They when you played them a couple of years ago, those defensemen smushed you, rubbed you right out. And it's a whole different matchup, and it's a whole different thing. And that's what makes Tampa so challenging. Long commercial-free segment is next. We'll take your calls if they don't suck. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for doing this. My question is about Tom, and after having a week of practices with him, I know you had the year off, but does it feel like you guys are back on the same page? Does it feel like old times? And how does his arm look to you so far?
Well, I'll go with how does his arm look? His arm looks like I first got into the league. I think he was 32 or 33 years old, and his arm may actually be stronger than when he was 33 when I first got to the league, which is incredible. But I would say, myself going out there, I was a little rusty getting used to the game of football. I still got a lot of ways to go. I got a lot of improvements to still make from my conditioning to knowing the playbook to just, you know, getting the feel of the football game. But the first, you know, couple practices were a little weird. It was fast, but now it's starting to get to like to the point to where we left off about, you know, 18 months ago. So, and that's a good feeling. It's a good feeling when we connect with a pass and all that good stuff. So that's the feeling it's starting to be. And that's the feeling that we're trying to get to every single day.
Well, we continue to check in with Gronkowski and Brady in Tampa. Brady looks like a guy who's 10 years younger, and your guy can't even make the third week of training camp. I keep drawing that parallel, Maz.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Really, again, because the whole logic, the whole reason to get away from Brady is that he's 43, he's on borrowed time, you don't know how long it's going to last. And Brady's still going strong, and the 24-year-old's got a hip problem? Like, tell me that one isn't just a kick in the face if you're the Patriots.
Sean and Malden on that hip problem. Go ahead, Sean, you're up.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, guys, watch the show every day. Love you guys. One thing about Stidham, not a doctor or anything, but bursitis is pretty common for athletes
and it lasts, you know, you got to...
All right, turn your TV down. How do you feel if your 24-year-old quarterback has bursitis, Maz?
Not good.
Second
Not good.
Camp.
And he just turned 24. Not that that matters, whether he was an old 24 or a young 24. Who gives a rat's ass? Like, 24 years old and you got a hip issue? So I sort of feel the same way, like, as I did with Pasternak when he got hurt in this, you know, in this ramp-up. Because, again, he missed time in practice, which tells me he wasn't ready to go. And I know that's sort of your theory with Stidham. And I it's hard to disagree with when you got a 24-year-old that hasn't had contact and has a bad hip.
Is there something the Patriots saw in this offseason that led them to Cam Newton? And we think yes. We think yes. And so is this pickup here with Stidham that doubt coming to fruition? That Stidham, there's just something they saw that they didn't like, whether it was the work he was putting in or the way he was seizing the moment or something to do with, I mean, because it's not really an on-field evaluation this offseason. They weren't on the field. So it's really just about sort of makeup and how you carry yourself and that sort of thing. And did they sense something with Stidham they didn't like that led them to pull the trigger on Cam Newton? And now Stidham's hurt the second week of camp, and is that doubt sort of coming to fruition? I wonder about that. Alan in Florida has a Red Sox thought for you, Maz. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. You know, Mike, yesterday you blew it off. This is the Boston Red Sox. Maz, you said yesterday you didn't look at the free agents for next year. Well, you know something? The best pitcher available is a guy you wouldn't want to get within 1,000 miles of, Trevor Bauer. The rest of them are all junk.
Garbage.
Tanaka or Arrieta. There is no free agents at all, almost in any position. And this team, I mean, blow it off, Mike, but these are the Boston Red. This team is in so much trouble. I don't know what they can do. You can't trade for anything. You can't. There's no free agents available. Their minor league system is completely dried up, and you can't just blow it off. These are the Boston Red. They'll be back in a year or two. This team is not going to be back in a year or two. There's no way.
Well, Alan, I mean, I'll stop you. If there's no free agents, that's trouble. There really is no free agents. There's no free agent pitchers, Maz?
I looked at it late yesterday. I said early yesterday. I haven't looked at the list yet. I did look at it later yesterday. It's garbage. The free agent pitching class is garbage. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there isn't a solution there, but he makes a good point, too. You can't trade prospects, right? You don't have them. So you got to keep the ones you have. This is how you got in that predicament in the first place. They've gone from having the best of everything, which is lots of prospects and lots of money, to having neither. Somehow they've ended up in that spot. So you know what's incumbent upon Bloom to do now? And again, there's a rumor out there today like they're going to move Brandon Workman to the Phillies. So, or at least the discussions are going on. But Workman's an easy guy. Jackie Bradley's an easy guy. So what I would tell you is this. Move some of those guys. And if you have to move position players, and I'm talking about guys like Benintendi now, move them and then try to recoup some talent on the free agent market and position players and get pitching in the trades.
Right.
And look, you may not get an ace, but you should be able to do better than Austin, Bryce, and the other clowns that they have out there on the mound now.
Well, this is why you hired Bloom, to find diamonds in the rough.
Exactly right. Yep. So you know what? Get to work.
Okay. Chris Gasper is scheduled to be standing by. Is he standing by?
He is. Yeah, Gasper, he's in the building. And I had a nice conversation off the air about some gossip.
Oh, great. Can we bring it to the air?
Hopefully he'll have the same rant that he had in the control room that he had on the air.
Bring it, Gasper. Bring your Gucci shoes and your Hugo Boss mask into the Town Fair Tire Studios and bring your gossip. Here's 90 seconds for an update from Murray, and then we get Gasper.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.